across Western New York at 100.9, 103.7, 104.3, 104.9, and 105.5. This is WCJW, Warsaw, Batavia, Arcade, Avon, and Geneseo. Today's favorites and the legends. Western New York's CJ Country.
Welcome to the weekend and the CJ Agribusiness Report. Our Saturday crew is standing by. Tom and Tim, Jeff and Bill, John Block and more. Grab your coffee and let's get started. Here's Andrew McCray and Farming the Countryside.
This edition of Farming the Countryside is brought to you by ProFarmer. ProFarmer provides key information to help farmers make profitable decisions. Go to ProFarmer.com. Welcome to Farming the Countryside. I'm Andrew McCray. Crop margins are tight or non-existent for next year. Is there a strategy for purchasing the inputs you need? What are the factors driving higher costs, and could those change over the coming months? We look at tips and tools we can use to make the most of some lean times in crop production. It's our topic for this week's Farming the Countryside, brought to you by ProFarmer. Start making confident marketing decisions with ProFarmer. ProFarmer's condensed style is designed to save you time while giving you the important information you need when making those important marketing decisions. And you'll stay on top of profit opportunities with ProFarmer's mobile sell alerts and easy-to-use mobile app. Now's a great time to learn more. Go to ProFarmer.com today. As we are harvesting a crop this year, most of us are looking at declining crop prices and rising input prices. I think all of us would love to have a strategy that could help us purchase fertilizer, ag chem, and seed at a lower price without reducing our yield potential. My guest this week is Josh Linville at StoneX, and he spends much of his time looking at global input supply and demand, especially for fertilizers. We discuss the markets and key factors we should keep in mind as we move through the fall and into next year. Welcome to Farming the Countryside. Josh Linville with StoneX joins me, and Josh and I are going to talk about inputs, specifically concentrating a lot on fertilizer. But Josh, first of all, thanks for joining me, and maybe you want to tell folks a little bit about what you do and what StoneX does if they aren't familiar.
Yeah, at our core, StoneX is a brokerage firm, right? We help our customers, you know, hedge their physical positions, try to get ahead of the marketplaces, very, very strong in the grains, but also fertilizer is an up-and-coming futures market. We're starting to see a lot more of that trading on the CME. So trying to teach the retail side, the agronomy side, how to use these tools properly. But when it comes to fertilizer, information is hard to come by, and a lot of that information can be skewed, whether that person is long or short on their positions. So trying to get more information out there, trying to stay unbiased. You know, we don't keep a physical position. We don't touch physical. We don't keep a long or short paper position. And frankly speaking, I try to not touch fertilizer stocks because I don't want to be long a manufacturing company and have that skew my point of view. That does not mean I'm going to be right all the time, but it at least tries to keep the story a little unbiased.
Now, you know, as you think about trading, and of course you can go to the CME, is it mostly retailers you're working with, or do you find you have large farmers that are taking positions as well these days?
Well, actually, there's an exciting thing that's happened. Something we had been pushing for years to the CME was to make the CME contract size smaller. It was simply too large for the common farmer to be able to participate. A couple of months ago, they actually rolled out a 10-ton NOLA urea contract, with the idea that the farmer will be able to participate. So to date, it's been much more the retail, the trader, the distributor, the manufacturer that have been participating. This new smaller contract should be the first step towards allowing the farmer to step in and getting done what they need to get done.
You know, I know we won't spend much time on it, but I am curious, with that opening up, do you foresee that's something then that farmers should at least evaluate because it's another tool then that they could use?
I think it's like everything. Everything needs to be evaluated, especially with today's times being as hard as they are, you know, financially and everything like that. You need to have every tool at your disposal to try and get through this thing and come out the other end looking like you're in a pretty good place. So, yeah, I think it's something that needs to be discussed. This needs to be something that's researched. And maybe at the end of the day, it's like, hey, this doesn't work for me. At least you've looked at it and made that decision rather than being like, I don't want to do it and miss out on a heck of an opportunity.
Right. Let's jump into some of these prices. And of course, as a farmer myself, all we hear is, okay, everything's higher, fertilizer's higher.
and crop prices are lower in general over time. But take me into the numbers. Maybe first of all, just a broad overview of where we stand on some of these prices compared to this time last year.
Yeah, if you start to look at it, we are definitely higher on a lot of these different inputs. Now, I typically focus on the majors, right? I'm looking at urea, UAN, anhydrous, phosphate, and potash. And for the most part, you can look at them year over year, and prices are higher. There's absolutely that argument to be made. However, more important, and this is where I look at farming a little bit differently than a lot of folks, I try not to get too involved in the emotion of it, because that's what flat prices do, right? We love high corn prices. We love low fertilizer prices, but what is that relationship? Farming to me, farm marketing to me is more like manufacturing, if you will. It's just inputs and outputs. It's so much more than that. I'm not trying to degrade it, but when it comes to farm marketing, that's how my simple mind works. So that's why when we look at the ratio between these two, like ultimately how many bushels of corn are we spending on a ton of urea, on a ton of anhydrous? That to me is the better determination of value. And that, fortunately, there's not a lot of value out there. And the farmers know this. Everybody knows this. Phosphate. We hit the all-time high ratio, the most number of bushels of corn ever spent on a ton of phosphate a couple months back. We beat the 2008 all-time high. Urea is very high. UAN is extremely high. Anhydrous and potash, both of those two are also on the high side, but not near to the extent the other three are. So this is the thing. Whether the farmer can tell it directly like this or it's an end-around, everybody's feeling this pinch.
So when we think about that pinch, what is the cause? Supply and demand, we go back to that, so where's that?
And this is what frustrates a lot of people. Unfortunately, a lot of this stuff is globally driven by the S&D. Now, there are certain things that we are doing as the U.S., as North America, to make a bad situation a little bit worse, but a lot of this stuff that's going on today, it's causing high prices. It's absolutely a global situation, and every single product is a little bit different as to the why behind it.
Well, let's talk about some of those global issues. You know, for a long time, we've been talking about the war with Russia and Ukraine. How much of a lasting impact has that had on some of these inputs?
That's been the very interesting one. If we go back to 2021, 2022, the lead up to the invasion was happening. The invasion actually happens, and fertilizer prices skyrocketed, right? Some of the highest ones we'd ever seen. A lot of that was due to the fact that we thought we were going to lose Russian exports. I mean, we started to see Starbucks, you know, stopping, you know, closing all their stores. McDonald's was pulling out. We thought, man, they are going to shut down all their Russian exports of fertilizer. It's going to significantly get everything tight. We're going to see a very, very bad situation. At the end of the day, Russia did a very good job of starting to shift those trade patterns. They started to rely more on their BRIC members, places like that. And they started to look at, you know, going to places like China, India, Brazil. Their export flows never slowed or stopped like a lot of people feared. And that continues today. Now, you look at UAN, their exports have gone down pretty substantially because they don't have really anywhere they can go to that hasn't been shut off to them. And Hydrus, their exports have shut down. They were the world's largest. Now they're only, you know, they were 4.4 million ton before, they're maybe 600,000 ton last year because their export pipeline ran through Ukraine and that got shut down pretty quickly. But when you look at phosphate, you look at potash, you look at urea, exports have remained pretty solid.
You mentioned those BRIC countries, and you know, this has been in the news with oil. As far as where does the oil go with these inputs, is some of that then making it to these countries that would have the barriers to entry to Russia? It just happens to go through another nation to finally make it to us, or where is that product going?
Well, we haven't really seen that. The U.S. government is very good about sniffing that kind of stuff out. We've seen it before where it goes through another nation, starts going out. I mean, we saw Trump, you know, going after India about doing that on the oil, right? They're just renaming the ship. It's kind of like that Nicolas Cage thing where he's on the back of the ship painting over it furiously, trying to change into something else. We haven't seen that because they don't need to. If they just go back and rely on those BRIC members, like I said, India and Brazil are huge. Fertilizer import buyers, they don't need to do those tricks and things. They can just go directly to those countries and really bypass a lot of the stuff. Now, it's important to note that the U.S. has continued to bring product from Russia. There's, you know, you look at, they are our second biggest potash supplier. They are our biggest single urea supplier. And so some of those products are still making their way, but you have seen global trade flows change as a result of it.
Help us understand that, because we hear about those barriers, and so to me, just a layman that's a farmer, I would say, okay, how are we even getting this? Because we're supposed to have all these barriers to trade, but some still comes from Russia today. Is that right?
Yeah, it's because fertilizer is generally forgotten about. You know, when you go to the news, you don't talk about fertilizer production. That's not going to get you any views. Everybody's worried about oil and energy and things like that. It's the high impact. It's the thing that touches everybody out there that people know about. But when you look at it, we never really put sanctions on Russia. There's a lot of talk of it. There's a lot of threats of it. But we've not seen anything that really stepped up except for phosphate that's blocked that flow of product coming here. Now, places like Canada blocked Russia. Australia blocked Russia. Lots of Europe has now recently blocked most of Russian fertilizers. But from a U.S. perspective, it's been free market.
So in that amount of time that we've had the war going on then, I know that you just can't ramp up magically production in a lot of other places, but have we seen then the mix of where we're drawing some of these inputs from change over that period of time?
A little bit. You're seeing it more on a global scale as these relationships, you know, take one thing that I'm actually writing about right now is where China is getting their potash flows from. They would normally get a lot of those flows from like Canada and Israel. Well, you've seen China starting to shift away from Western countries and trying to rely more on its allies. It wants to expand that sphere of influence. And all of a sudden, a lot more of those tons are coming from places like Belarus, Russia, Laos, those local countries that if anything ever starts to, you know, pop off, they're the ones they're going to rely on. They don't want to rely on the West for their products. So there has been some trade flow changes, absolutely.
So let's talk about what it means then to the farmers here in this nation. We have seen these input prices go higher. Is this the main reason then, thinking about global impacts such as the war in Ukraine, or so there's some other ones that we should be aware of that are causing it?
The Russia-Ukraine thing obviously adds a lot of uncertainty into the world because, you know, we've seen President Trump threatening big sanctions. He's been talking to the allies, trying to how to rally the cause. We don't know where that's going to go, and if there are sanctions, just how much teeth are there going to be in those things? Is it going to be something where we just shut them down, or does the whole world shut them down, or something in between? It has been a situation. Take China. They are major phosphate and urea exporters. Well, since late 21-22, they saw global prices skyrocketing. They saw inventories very tight. The government started to step in and say, you know what? We know that we're big exporters. We're going to start to put our foot. We're going to start to slow down these export flows to keep more tons for our own farmers, to keep our own domestic prices lower. That approach has worked out very, very well for their farmers, and they've continued to do it. Now, they're starting to loosen up a little bit this year. The exports are still significantly lower. That impacts it. When you look at the Middle East, you know, we had that little situation, the 12-day war between Israel and Iran. Well, that shut down production in Iran as well as Egypt for about 2 weeks. That's a lot of production that's lost. Wintertime, it was cold out there, so they had to shut down production. So when you start to look around the world, a lot of the fertilizer comes from places that are kind of, I don't want to say sketchy, but you kind of wonder about the reliance of supply. It's places like Russia, China, Middle East. And with the world that we're living in today, if you wake up one morning, all of a sudden it's like, oh, a war has popped off over here and it shut down fertilizer production. It's kind of like, yeah, it's a Tuesday.
Right. Well, you know, we are heading into the fall or already in the fall, and so we already have harvest underway. We have what we expect is a pretty big crop. We don't know exactly where it's going to come in. How does that impact then how much fertilizer we're going to want to put on? Or do farmers just say, hey, margins are too tight, and I've got to cut somewhere, and that's where I'm going to cut. What do you see? Because you see all of us as a whole here in this country.
Yep. And that's my worry. All summer, farmers have looked at the fertilizer price and said it's too high, and they are 100% correct. The purses are too high. So, like I said, some of the worst ratios, some of the worst values we have ever seen. And the farm economics are very, very poor. The money simply is not there. And so the farmer has been going to the retailer and saying, I am not going to apply anything this fall. I'm not going to put it on. I don't need it. Don't worry about me. The market has been preparing for that. I think it's been very conservative in its buying patterns and its approach to the fall season because it's being told, don't need it, don't need it. It does make you real excited about putting tons in place. If we get through this harvest and we figure out there's a pretty decent sized yield out there, we know big yields remove big nutrients. Now, does that guarantee fall application? No. The farmer may say, my best bet is to reduce the application. It may impact my overall yield potential for 2026, but I'll take that. It's worth the cost. It's okay. Some may say, I'm going to wait till winter. I'm going to wait till spring. Fall demand very well may be low. And what the retailers and the co-ops and everybody have put in place is absolutely right. But my biggest fear is that as we get in the second half of October, farmers start to change their mind and say, you know what? It was a big yield. I don't want to wait till spring. What if it's wet? What if it's cold? I don't want to have to decide between application and planting. let's just go ahead and put it on this fall. And they show up to the supplier and say, okay, I'm ready to put my stuff on. They're like, what? I didn't put it in place because you said you didn't need it. I will do my absolute best to go find it. But now we're talking about a just-in-time logistical supply model, and that cost. That's a high cost to move that stuff around, especially if we see a lot of Midwest doing that same thing.
Is there a good strategy for us to have at this point, or is it, in a sense, already too late?
I don't want to say it's too late, right? We still got about 30 days before we really get into the thick of the fertilizer. There is still time to have those conversations with our supplier. A conversation does not mean I am absolutely going to step in, I'm going to write a check, I'm going to give it to them, and they have it in place. But at least a conversation about my plans gives them a little bit more information so that they can get their supplies right to be prepared as best they can on their side. Does this have the potential to be a very, very difficult fall season? Absolutely. But then again, we could also get to the fall season to that point. Demand just isn't there. We kind of slide through it. We get to Christmas scratching our head wondering what just happened. That could be a spring situation where we try and get everything done in a very short amount of time, but we'll worry about that when we get to it. But today, the biggest thing I can say is have those conversations sooner than later, and then also be unemotional when it comes to the marketing. And trust me, I've made a lot of stupid, angry decisions in my life. None of them worked out very well. Same thing when it goes to marketing. Your guys' operations are massive. It's a lot of dollars. You got to approach this thing just very unemotional, very cold-blooded. If the numbers make sense, do it. If they don't, step away and take another look at it.
What have you seen about any changes in the mix of what we're using? Because there are options out there. So has that mix changed at all?
Yeah, I think everybody's kind of dusting off some of these technologies, some of these new products that in the past they may have looked at and said it's too expensive. It doesn't make a lot of sense. I'm not going to try it. However, those things may not make sense when prices are, I'm going to say, quote unquote, low. When they get to very, very high, we have to relook at those and say, okay, is there a place now where this does make sense? Maybe it's a different style of fertilizer. Maybe it's a different approach to how we put it on. When times get as tough as they are, I don't think we can afford to ignore anything. We don't want to sit there and get 12 months down the road and look back and say, oh, shoot, I would have been eons ahead had I just taken a second look at maybe this product.
Right. You know, out in farm country right now, I'm always in a lot of different conversations, and you hear people say, well, what breaks this cycle? Because we have been on an upward trajectory with these inputs for quite some time now. What does break it? Is it peace in some of these countries? Is that what breaks it, or what happens to change this?
That would certainly help. If we could just get away from having these conflicts, having these high aggressions in some of these regions around the world, I think that'd be a big help. However, I think the longer-term thing is we need to look at more production. Ultimately, when you look at over the years, global fertilizer demand capacity has continued to grow. I'm not going to sit there and act like it hasn't, but global demand has risen faster. So we've gotten to a situation where that capacity versus demand, that difference is not very big. And that's why when you see something happen around the world, production goes down, there's a conflict, it's an immediate reaction. This globe for fertilizer does not have the excess production capacity inventory supply to take care of that differential. So when you look at it, we need to look at more nitrogen production. We need to look at more phosphate production. Luckily, there is phosphate production coming around the world, but these construction projects and everything like that, we're talking years, not months.
Right, yeah, they take a lot of time. What are the opportunities either in this country or with some of our close allies? That would seem to be a way that would help us out quite a bit.
On the nitrogen side, I feel like that's something we can make here. You look at it, natural gas, we've got plenty of supply out there. We're very well supplied. Our prices are very aggressive, very good looking versus the rest of the world. We can produce this stuff at home. We can be competitive with the rest of the world, and we can produce it cleaner than a lot of the other places around the world will do because we can maintain our own environmental standards and then not have to ship it halfway around the world to get it here. So I think that's something we need to look at, is trying to figure out how do we get more production in the hands of new participants here, either in the U.S. or in Canada, somewhere in North America. Now, phosphate's a little bit harder. You've got to have access to that phosphate rock, and I think it's a lot of what we're struggling with is we're running out of supplies down south. We used to be very reliant on Florida. Production's been suffering. I hope that improves. But when you start to look at these new production, what we're expecting, Saudi Arabia is wanting to expand, Morocco is wanting to expand, Egypt wants to expand, Australia wants to expand. Luckily, these are countries that we're in, you know, a good relationship with. If there's something we can do to help boost that, anything to make those tons come online faster, it'd be better for us.
Yeah, it just takes a lot of time. And what's the incentive? Is it eventually that these companies say, okay, long term, there is enough reason for me to invest in this to go out and develop these new sources?
Yeah, it's very hard to get new money in, right? There's been a very big push onto politicians saying too few companies control too much of production. And that's because it's very hard to find outside money to come in. We talk about a new world-scale nitrogen facility. We're not talking millions of dollars. It's a multi-billion dollar investment. Well, you go to an investment banker or somebody like that and say, okay, I want $3-5 billion to make nitrogen. They're going to look at you and kind of chuckle a little bit because there's better investments out there, less risky investments. And so your outside money doesn't really like to come in. And the money that's already there is saying, well, I kind of like this. Margins are good. Supplies are tight. I'm kind of in control of this thing. Why would I want to change this? And so we're kind of stuck in this rut. It's very hard to get out.
Justin, the time we have left here, then give me an idea of where you see this farm economy headed. Because as we move into this fall, things are tight. A lot of balance sheets are close to the red, if not in the red, not only for this year, but next year. What do you see and what strategies would you propose?
Unfortunately, I don't know where it gets a lot better. And again, a lot of people can get into the argument of just how big is the yield? What's the yield number going to be? You're kind of splitting hairs there. It is going to be a big crop with a lot of acres. There's going to be a lot of bushels that are out there looking for somewhere to go. I would say my biggest hope at this point, we get some of these trade deals done, start getting some of this export demand on the grain side, which would help start boost some of these price ideas. If we can get the grain side up, that helps out a lot of this stuff. Now, unfortunately, I do think it's going to drag some of the fertilizer prices up with it if that happens. But that's the first thing. We want these trade deals to be done, get back to a free market. Number two, I'm really hoping that D.C. follows through with its recent conversations that it's going to take this tariff money. It's been getting on fertilizer and different things. It's going to pump it back into the farm. Again, I am afraid that when that happens, you will see fertilizer prices respond to it as it has in the past. But again, that's something to kind of help bridge the gap until we get closer to those trade deals. But ultimately speaking, like I said, going forward, it's going to be hard. This thing is cyclical, right? We had a few good years. We had some good grain prices. Guys did pretty well. We're not going to pay the price for it. Best thing we can do, like I said, when it comes down to it, leave all your options open and consider everything with a level head. It's going to be so easy to be depressed, angry, sad, whatever the emotion is. When we have to make a decision, just cold-hearted, man. You got to look at it and say, does this make sense or not? What are the numbers trying to tell me? If it's a number that sits there and says, listen, you can break even on this. You can make a little money on this. We can't sit there and say, well, if I wait a little bit longer, maybe it gets a little bit better. Trust me, I've done that on some stock picks before, and it never worked out well. But take the opportunities when the market gives you. It may not be a lot of opportunities, but I think they'll still be out there.
Yeah, Josh, you mentioned the emotion, and that's so difficult for us because we are dealing sometimes with things that are out of our hands, and we feel like that we need to somehow be able to control more of it, and some of it just isn't. But help me walk through that, because so many of us feel the pressure of being able to somehow make the money that we need, in some cases just to support a family. Maybe that's what to leave us off with. I don't want you to just come up with a happy message just to come up with one, but help us walk through that to be able to somehow keep the cash flow coming and keep things rolling along as best we can to maybe get to some of those bigger or better times.
Yeah, it's stuff like this, which is why I never wanted to get into farming. My dad, my uncle, and my grandpa and great-grandpa, everybody farmed. The stress of trying to keep that generational farm together, that generational operation together, when you're dealing with markets, it frankly doesn't care if you make money or not. I couldn't handle it. Not only that, but the fact that you could do everything perfectly right in a derecho event, a hail event, a lack of rain, too much rain, can completely destroy everything you've done. I could not handle that stress. And I get it, and that's where the emotion comes from, right? These guys are out there. They are getting up stupidly early. They're staying up stupidly late. They are, living, breathing. They're out in the fields every day. They're bleeding for this crop to raise it. Alford and user thinks they're trying to kill them. So I get all the emotion. The market will give us opportunities. Like I said, it may not be there all the time. It may not be there every day. Times like this is when we want to stick our head in the sand and just ignore it and hope it goes away and hope that when we pull our head back out, things have improved. If you take that approach, you're not going to be able to watch and see if things pop up. Like I said, if there's an opportunity where it's like, hey, I can lock in some of my fertilizer, I can sell some grain, and it's profitable this year, you probably don't want to shy away from that in hopes that something better comes on down the road. If you lock in a relationship like that and it's profitable and that's your worst decision, that's a really good year. Because your worst decision was profitable, that meant you're on the right side of this thing.
Josh, any last things you'd want us to know before we wind up today? Because you're in the markets and you deal with that quite a bit. You see quite a bit out there.
Yeah, things will get better. It always gets better. I don't know the time frame. It's a tough situation. It's been a tough market. I know I'm absolutely stressed out. I'm working like the farmer is, right? I'm just watching the markets from an office. So best I can say is keep your head up, keep your eyes open.
Josh, I appreciate the time.
Yes, sir. Anytime.
Thanks for joining me on this week's show. Remember, if you missed one of these shows, it's easy to go back and listen to past episodes and other topics of interest. Just go to farmingthecountryside.com and click on the Listen tab, or go to your favorite podcast platform, where you'll find our past shows and other topics of interest as well. I appreciate you joining me this week. I'm Andrew McCray. I'll catch you next time on Farming the Countryside. This edition of Farming the Countryside has been brought to you by ProFarmer. ProFarmer provides key information to help farmers make profitable decisions. Go to ProFarmer.com today.
Standing by is Tom and Tim with the Ag Radio Net Farm News. When we return, it's Agriculture Today with Tony St. James in just a moment.
This program is brought to you by Kubota. Turn to Monroe Tractor for all your Kubota equipment needs, located in Springville and North Java. Learn more online at MonroeTractor.com.
You get up early on snow days because snowed in is not an option. The Kubota snow lineup of compact tractors, RTVs, and versatile attachments are built to thrive in the winter. Right now, bring home select Kubota equipment with 0% financing available or save up to $6,000.
Now through December 31st, you also go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Turn to Monroe Tractor and Implement for all your Kubota equipment needs, located in Springville and North Java, or find us online at MonroeTractor.com.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
Farm families say the math no longer works with prices down, cost up, and trade uncertainty widening the gap. So the American Farm Bureau Federation pressing Washington for immediate and longer-term help. In letters to President Donald Trump and congressional leaders, Farm Bureau President Zippy Duvall warns that shuttered farms drain rural schools, elevators, Main Street businesses, and ultimately America's food independence. Farm Bureau cites crop prices that fell off a cliff since 2022 and a persistent ag trade deficit, heightening volatility around China and other partners. Short-term, Farm Bureau urges bridge payments before year-end robust enough to stabilize cash flow while policy resets. Longer-term, it's calling for enforceable trade deals, year-round E15, restoring whole milk in schools, protecting interstate commerce, investigating major input pricing, stronger competition enforcement, and prioritizing American-grown fruits and vegetables in federal and institutional purchasing. The message, preserve farm capacity now or risk deeper losses that take years to rebuild. Rural lenders say a fix to the Community Bank Leverage Ratio, CBLR, could unlock more credit for farms, small businesses, and hometown projects. Congress created this back in 2018. It was a simple optional capital test, but regulators set it at 9% and layered on big bank definitions, limiting who could use it. Speaking at the Federal Reserve's Community Bank Conference, Fed Governor Michelle Bowman called the rule well-intentioned, but underperforming. Only about 40% of eligible community banks ever opted in. Far fewer among institutions over $1 billion. Now, for ag communities, that means more capital tied up on paper, fewer dollars available for operating lines, land notes, equipment, and grain storage. According to the American Bankers Association, industry advocates argue regulators can fix this without new legislation. They can lower the threshold to 8%, raise and index the $10 billion size cap so more true community banks qualify, and stop penalizing banks for holding safe assets like cash and treasuries in leverage calculations. They say those targeted changes would expand participation, give rural banks more room to lend without weakening safety and soundness. Well, with export growth unlikely to absorb bigger U.S. crops, next leg of demand for corn and soybeans? Biofuel policy. That's according to a recent Kansas City Federal Reserve Economic Bulletin. It notes U.S. yields are up more than 20% since 2010, while America's share of global corn-soy trade has slipped amid competition from Brazil and ongoing trade frictions. Proposed renewable fuel standard updates would lift biomass-based diesel quotas about 50%, while bumping ethanol and advanced volumes and counting foreign feedstocks at half the rate of North American inputs could favor U.S. crops. And this is Agriculture Today.
Hey there, fellow travelers. It's me, the Hotel Whiz. Before you go anywhere, call me day or night for hotel rates too low to publish. I'll save you up to 75% on over 500,000 hotels across the globe. You see, I've already done the research, so you don't have to spend time online trying to find the best deal. That's up to 75% off. Just call me, the Hotel Whiz. It's a free call, and you get instant access to rates too low to publish with no cancellation fees.
Make a free call now and save up to 75% off your hotel rooms the next time you're going somewhere for business or pleasure. Call the Hotel Whiz now and get instant access to rates too low to publish. 800-378-2714. 800-378-2714. 800-378-2714. Call the Hotel Whiz right now for rates too low to publish. 800-378-2714.
More of today's favorites and the legends headed your way at 6. But for now, it's more of the news and information that farmers and producers of CJ Country can use. When our CJ Agribusiness Report returns, it's the AgRadioNet Farm News with Tom Cassidy and Tim Slezarczyk. Stay tuned.
It's National 4-H Week in CJ Country, and Pierce Milling gives a big salute to the young men and women in our local 4-H clubs. Thank you for your work in our communities. You know Pierce Milling and Delavan for their high-quality, freshly made animal feeds. Did you know that their gift shop is chock-full with wind chimes, flags, gnomes, bird feeders, candy, candles, kids' toys, and more? Stop into Pierce Milling on Church Street in Delavan and learn more. Or call 716-492-2740.
For four generations, more residents have relied on Ed Hume Incorporated for all their building and renovating needs, whether it's construction, site development, home improvement, blacktop, ponds, or other projects. Their team is up for any challenge in front of them. Ed Hume Construction has two gravel pits in Wyoming County loaded with screened and crushed gravel, topsoil, scalpings, millings, stone products, and more. There isn't a job too big to handle. Call 786-5880 to see what else Ed Hume can do for you. Or stop in 17 East Buffalo Street in Warsaw.
This is the Ag Radio Network Farm News. I'm Tom Cassidy with Tim Slezarczyk.
Domestic butter demand has been mixed across the country, with retail sales activity remaining more robust than food service sales activities. It's expected, of course, that'll ramp up as we approach holiday season. Export demand remains strong as well, with cream readily available across the country. Lower cream multiples generally reported in week 40 compared to the previous week, with butter producers noting mixed demand for their spot loads of cream. Butter production schedules have varied from steady to strong, with production managers more focused on retail butter production than bulk butter production. Butter stocks more ample to meet buyer demand, with bulk butter overages ranging from 2 cents below to 5 cents above market prices across all regions. Cheese output here in the East has been steady. Producers are balancing limited capacity at a few facilities with very strong retail and holiday order fulfillment, with spot milk available for Class 3 use, helping plants to keep their inventories in line. Export demand for cheese remains steady as well. Overall supply and demand remains well aligned. For fluid milk production, it continues to rise across the nation, with decreasing temperatures increasing cow comfort. It's no surprise that we see a larger volume of milk. Milk components have remained high, higher than many contacts can remember in recent years, with Class 1 demand remaining strong, bottling demand increasing in the Midwest. the rest of the country in a steady state. Class 2 demand seasonally increasing as well. Holidays mean more dairy products. Manufacturers are fulfilling those holiday orders for dairy-based baking ingredients, leading to better Class 2 and Class 4 prices.
Quality feed! Margins!
Productivity!
Even your herd knows what's important to you. All dairy farmers, our top priority at John Deere is keeping your animals healthy and productive. With our technology, you can reduce overlaps, track nutrient content of your forage, and reduce downtime. We have the solutions to help feed and care for your herd. To learn more, talk to your local John Deere dealer today.
As harvest begins, the American Seed Trade Association reminds farmers to be diligent in taking the proper precautions to ensure treated seed does not enter the domestic or export grain supply. When properly handled, seed treatments are an effective agronomic tool that provides seeds the necessary protection for a strong, healthy start. Completely remove all treated seed left in containers and equipment used to handle harvested grain and dispose of it properly. Always be careful to follow state and federal guidelines for proper handling, storage, and disposal of treated seed. For more information, visit seed-treatment-guide.com or contact your seed dealer.
Many with drought conditions this year are seeing the benefits of having a good nutrient supply for their crops. Potash enhances drought tolerance, disease resistance, and plant standability for corn, which is why farmers apply it. But if you've thought about where it comes from, many have noticed it comes from Canada. Without fertilizer, we wouldn't be able to feed the 8 billion people in the world. That, according to Nutrien's general manager, located 28 miles outside of Saskatoon, where Nutrien is headquartered, saying potash has that important role. Global production of potash is around 70 million tons, 20 million of that produced in Saskatchewan's province. Potash is a soft rock, ore consists of two-thirds salt, a third potash, and a little bit of clay, so there's a big challenge to get the mine underway. The mine has grown significantly over the years, footprint roughly 20 kilometers by 14 kilometers, covering a large area. Over 5.5 decades of mining, this one mine, referred to as the Allen Mine, since 1964. The farthest mine face, where they use a bore to extract the potash, is about an hour's drive from the mine shaft. Safety, of course, is a core value, with 12-hour shifts underground, taxing. Employee turnover rate is actually quite low, at just 4%. Trade right now about $60 an hour. Employees are paid well, and they tend to stay. Nutrien invited Farm Media to Saskatoon to tour the Allen Mine and Milling Facility, as well as their headquarters. A number of interesting facts came from this study.
And now another episode of One Soil to Live.
I just can't let you keep treating it like dirt, Claude.
Well, you know I don't mean to, Samantha. It's just I...
It's just what? You don't know it's alive?
Well, I...
Well, it is alive. And if you want to get the most out of it, you'll follow these four principles to keep it healthy and functioning.
All right, Samantha. I'm listening.
First, keep it covered. And keep living roots in it throughout the year with diverse plants and rotations. And finally, disturb it as little as possible.
And if I do as you say, Samantha...
If you do, Claude, I have a feeling it'll be the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
There's an amazing amount of life in healthy soil. More importantly, that life can help make our nation's farms more productive, profitable, and resilient. Contact your local USDA Natural Resources Conservation Service office today and learn more about the basics and benefits of soil health. This message brought to you by USDA and this radio station.
It pays to plan your ag taxes throughout the year to pay less at the end of the year. Call the Ag Tax Specialists at Farm Credit East. Made in agriculture.
This is the Ag Radio Network Farm News, a voice for farmers of the Northeast.
It's harvest time in New York. Make sure your equipment is ready to stay in the field with genuine AGCO parts from Java Farm Supply. Their knowledgeable parts specialists are ready to help you find the right agricultural part, from fluids and filters to hoses and fittings to engine and transmission parts and everything in between. Stop at their stores in North Java or Batavia and their online parts store for a wide selection, including Massey Ferguson, Heston, Fendt, Challenger, and more. Java Farm Supply, your one-stop shop for reliable, genuine AGCO parts.
In honor of National 4-H Week, Batavia Starter reminds you that 4-H helps the young people of our community become responsible, productive citizens, and have fun too. Since 1989, Batavia Starter has been rebuilding and repairing your classic and antique starters and generators, as well as your ag and heavy equipment, cars and trucks, ATVs and lawn and garden equipment. They now offer specialty powder coating too. Batavia Starter, 344-3285. Open Monday through Friday from 8 till 4:30.
Ever miss a farm show or want to hear something again? We keep a week's worth waiting for you on our webpage. Go to WCJW.com, then click on the Agribusiness tab to find the past seven shows. You're welcome. We're going to step aside for a message or two. Then it's Bill Baker and Dairy Rewind.
Happy National 4-H Week from CJ Country and Empire Livestock. 4-H is a valuable program for young people, teaching them responsibility and leadership skills. Support your local 4-H club today. This National 4-H Week salute is brought to you by Empire Livestock, Route 19 and Pavilion. Whether it's cattle, dairy, or beef, calves, hogs, goats, or sheep, sales run every Monday and Thursday each week. Call market manager Tony Perry at 483-1687 or office clerk Joyce Pilk at 356-0334 to find out how Empire Livestock can help you with your livestock needs.
So there's skim milk, aka fat-free. There's 1% and 2%. Ever wonder why there isn't a 3%? Well, being a nerdy mom, I do. And you know what? There is one. That's right. It's called whole milk. Whole milk only has 3% milk fat, which, when you think about it, and I do, is not a lot of fat at all. And did you know that no matter what cow's milk you prefer, they all have 8 grams of protein? Of course, it is wonderful. We have so many alternatives, but many nut and plant-based milk substitutes don't meet the nutritional levels naturally contained in dairy. And I'm not big on thickeners, flavorings, or added sugars. Bottom line, cow's milk is still the gold standard when it comes to nutrition. So sure, I'm a nerdy mom, but I love my cows. I mean, kids, I love my kids.
Milk for nerdy moms and just about everyone. Brought to you by Milk for Health on the Niagara Frontier, the guys and gals with the cows.
Gear up for the season with great deals on genuine New Holland parts and service, including Precision Technologies, select Riemann parts, and more. Get a 5% statement credit when you spend $1,000 or more on genuine New Holland lubricants using your Productivity Plus account. And take 15% off OEM and Fleet Guard filters that set you up for success this season. Visit Larry, Romance, and Son in Arcade, Sheridan, and Wood Hull today to save on genuine New Holland parts and service.
This is Dairy Rewind, a look back at what happened this week in the dairy industry. Milky Monday.
As far as the markets are concerned, as far as dairy markets, there's a lot of strength coming back into the markets, actually, as we start the new quarter and the new month here. And I think what people kind of underestimate is just how powerful the fall season going into the winter, the holiday season, is for dairy. And we've had some drastic down movements in prices, you know, Lee, and certainly like on butter. But now we've adjusted the price, and I think we're attracting a more substantial bid. I think butter can be exported in a very significant way now that prices have adjusted. And even though the world market has come down a little bit, I think we can, we're in the catbird seat to export butter. Probably not so great on cheese, but we may have better domestic demand for cheese right now. So there is a different tone than the rather bearish or negative tone of September. The market has absorbed all this information. We have plenty of milk, we have plenty of cream, and yet prices, they're becoming a little bit more buoyant.
Tuesday.
I do call this the hard but necessary family conversations, because I really feel like communicating and talking about some of these sensitive issues. How many of you would be excited or happy if the day after your funeral, a caravan of livestock trailers backed up to your facilities and loaded up all your cows to take them to the sale barn, the local auction company was called to schedule the estate machinery sale, and the kids stopped by the realty office on the way home from the funeral to list the farm for sale? And in all the hundreds of times I've asked this, no one ever jumps up and says, yeah, that's what I want my legacy to be. But the reality is, if we don't take farm succession serious, and if we don't plan for it and work through some of the difficult conversations, that may be your legacy. And so that's really what we want to try to avoid.
Wednesday.
Yeah, looking at calves, thinking about cold weather from a calorie balance is something that's always important to do as the seasons change and the weather gets colder. And I always like to explain that I think about calories as a form of currency. And so people pay bills with money, and calves pay bills with calories. And the bills that calves have to pay are the heat bill, and that maintains their body temperature, their core body temperature, and that takes calories. And then they have to pay the immune system. Those are the little warriors that are out fighting off infection every day, hundreds and thousands and millions of them, white blood cells and things floating around the bloodstream fighting off infection, and they all have to be paid with calories. In fact, the immune system is one of the largest calorie utilizers in the body. People don't think about that, but it is. And then, of course, growth takes calories, and so doing everything we can to help it keep that calorie balance as a positive. So you can think about calves' heat bill.
Thursday.
Alan, how has the shutdown affected the dairy industry so far?
Well, what you've seen, of course, is inability to get new loans processed. Farm service agency offices have been closed, although USDA's direction is saying that should the shutdown last more than 10 days, there will be one staffer per office brought back on, basically to process things that have been ongoing. You also see, of course, pauses in programs that, you know, assist farmers, and that's a challenge in farm country. In dairy country, there are two pieces of good news, I guess. One, you know, because of a lot of the farm bill being included in the spending and tax package that was passed last summer, you do have that certainty as far as what farm programs will look like in the future. And the other good piece of news is that the dairy margin coverage program isn't as relevant right now simply because margins have been higher and the payment level hasn't been triggered.
Friday.
Well, welcome to today's Feed Forum, and our topic is going to talk about our harvest season going on here in the U.S. Certainly, we're in the midst here in Illinois of harvesting both our corn and soybean crops coming in from the field. But, Bill, we've seen some real challenges this year when we look especially at the corn crop. First of all, some of the environmental factors that come into play. Excessive heat occurred especially during pollination time, which can reduce the pollination effects. And then the filling of the actual corn kernels in August got to be a problem. And that's a problem for soybeans as well. We have lots of pods and lots of seeds in the pod, but the bean itself does not develop to its full extent if we're under moisture conditions. The corn yield is going to be quite variable as well and may not break even here in economics out well. And we must be monitoring what strategic times to try to sell corn and soybeans on the marketplace. And finally, we've got to, especially for corn, monitor mycotoxins, Bill. This can be a problem, especially with various growing conditions here in the U.S. Well, that completes the program for today. Thanks. Hey, have a great day.
Thanks, Mike. That's Dr. Mike Hutchins, Professor Emeritus from the University of Illinois, featured every Friday here on our Feed Forum Friday on Dairy Radio Now.
Perry Veterinary Clinic joined CJ Country in congratulating the hundreds of young men and women involved in our local 4-H programs. Perry Veterinary Clinic on Route 246 in Perry and with locations in Batavia, Livonia, and Yorkshire reminds you that 4-H promotes youth activity, teaches participants how to properly care for their pets, and prepares our future farmers. For your companion and farm animal care needs, contact Perry Veterinary Clinic 237-5550. Visit perryvet.com or find them on Facebook.
Hey, this is Lisa Stofan. Heard the Mark Patrick weight loss hypnosis hype? Well, I attended because my father stopped smoking with hypnosis. Hypnosis eliminated my desire for soda and fast food, made me want to exercise, and I lost 60 pounds in 6 months. My energy level exploded. I went to another session to deal with some other problem foods, and I lost another 10 pounds. In fact, I brought my husband. He lost weight. More important, cholesterol and blood pressure improved. My friend went, and she lost 20 pounds in the first 2 months. So does Mark Patrick hypnosis work? Oh yeah, it works. Nothing has changed my life more. Well, except maybe my husband. He's so proud of me. Makes me cry.
That is such a great story. And what are you waiting for? Join Mark Patrick's seminars and lose the weight or stop smoking. Guaranteed early bird special, only $49.99. That's right. Weight loss seminar, Wednesday, October 22nd at the Quality Inn & Suites, Palm Island in Batavia at 5:30 p.m. Registration, 5 p.m. Stop smoking seminar, 8. Registration, 7:30 p.m. Sign up at markpatrickseminars.com.
Let's talk vinyl. Vinyl new construction windows and vinyl replacement windows. You've heard the radio and TV ads offering buy one, get one free. Well, how much do they mark up the original price to be able to offer these deals? A lot. At First Lumber, we give you a fair, competitive upfront price without all the games. We offer the same warranties as the radio and TV guys, and we proudly carry United and Atrium brand windows, meaning you can buy with confidence when you buy at Burt's. Burt's Lumber and Perry, open 7 days a week, including Sundays, 9 to 1.
We know you put your Kuhn Knight equipment to work, and it may be in need of some extra attention. Make sure to inspect bearings, knives, hammers, and other high wear parts to keep your machine running at its best.
Genuine Kunite parts, proudly made in the USA, are now available at Kelly's Garage, your Kunite dealer in Perry. Invest in quality with original Kunite parts designed specifically for your machine. Stop in or call 237-2504 for more information today.
In honor of National 4-H Week, Hearts Insurance reminds you about the importance of our local 4-H clubs to our community. 4-H strives to help young people learn about new ideas and techniques in agriculture. Find out how you can help your local 4-H chapter. The folks at Hearts Insurance are specialists in farm insurance. They work with all size farms from the smallest to the largest in the region. Visit Hearts Insurance at 3 South Main Street in Perry or call them at 327-2126. Hearts Insurance, the standard of excellence since 1877.
In honor of 4-H Week on CJ Country, Lamb Farms reminds you that there are many different programs offered by 4-H, including plants and animals, communication and expressive arts, environmental education and earth sciences, personal development and leadership, and so much more. Lamb Farms of Oakfield strives to economically produce high-quality milk, offer good working conditions for their over 100 employees, and offer comfort to their cows. Lamb Farms, Albion Road in Oakfield, 948-5777, or visit lambfarmsinc.net.
We'll be back with a check of the forecast after this brief break.
The CJ Weather Check forecast brought to you by Upstate Niagara Cooperative. Upstate Niagara Cooperative, farmer-owned by 260 family dairy farms, producing top-quality conventional and organic milk at the farm level that leads to award-winning finished dairy products. Bison Dip, Upstate Farms yogurt, sour cream, cottage cheese, and fluid milk, home to Intense Milk and their lactose-free Milk for Life, all produced with care for their cows and commitment to their community. The forecast for today, showers likely, mainly later in the afternoon, high near 60. For tonight, mostly cloudy with showers likely, low down to 44, and for tomorrow, partly sunny, chance of showers, high of 64.
Calmin, C-A-L-M-I-N, is a great triple play for dairy farmers and their nutritionists to use. Research shows Calmin neutralizes over twice as much acid as sodium bicarbonate. Research also shows Calmin provides the highest rumen available calcium. And finally, research shows Calmin has the highest rumen available magnesium. Calmin, the economical triple play of dairy cattle nutrition. Ask your nutritionist or feed dealer to put Calmin in your dry and lactating cow rations today. Give us a call at 1-866-737-6273 or find us on the web at feedbricksusa.com.
In honor of National 4-H Week, P&D Equipment salutes A.B. Graham, who started a youth agricultural club in Ohio in 1902 that eventually became known as 4-H. Dairy farmers, because you care about the health and comfort of your cows, check out P&D Equipment Sales for Superstall mattresses, Marifat Ritchie Waterers, Schaefer fans, heavy-duty curtain wall systems, Silence Innocuate, and bug covers. They carry freestall loops, headlocks, gates, Scalar-Up footwear, and more. P&D Equipment Sales, Brookville Road in Alexander, 343-2394.
A look into the markets here at the end of the day on Friday, October the 10th. I'm Remington Ricketts. Starting with Wall Street and the S&P 500 in the red, 65.52. The Dow down 454.79. And NASDAQ in the red as well at 222.04. Bitcoin lower, gold higher, euro higher as well. As we go over to the energy's futures prices, crude oil West Texas Intermediate, November in the red, 58.66, December 58.24, and January lower as well, 58.04. Gasoline lower, nat gas lower, crude oil lower as well. Over to the grains futures prices. Starting corn December, 5.25 down, 4.13 even, March 4.29 even, and May in the red as well, 4.38 even. Soybean lower, soybean meal lower, soybean oil lower. Wheat December contract 8 even down, 498.5. March 515.25, and May in the red as well, 527.25. Hard red winter wheat December 483 even, 6.75 down. March 504.5. Hard red spring wheat December 526.25, 7.5 lower. March in the red as well, 546.25. Over to the cotton, December contract 63 cents down at 63.84, March 65.60, and May in the red as well, 66.89. Finishing with the livestock and dairy futures. Live cattle October, 345 higher here at the end of the day at 238.47, December 242.52, and February 245.40. Feeder cattle October 375.50, 147 higher, November higher as well, 375.90. Lean hogs lower, pork cutout lower, class 3 milk lower.
How would you like to get high-speed internet for your home for less than $2 a day? That's right, for about $50 a month, you'll get lightning-fast internet. Are you paying less than $50 a month right now for your internet? Then call Whole Home Connect right now for blazing fast internet at $50 a month with no price increases, no hidden fees, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees. It's a great deal. And guess what? You can try it for 15 days. If you don't like it, you get your money back. But you're going to love it, and you're going to love the price. Internet for your home for $50 a month. That's less than $2 a day. Plus, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees, and our 15-day guarantee. Call now. 800-923-9018. 800-923-9018. 800-923-9018. That's 800-923-9018.
Thanks for listening to the CJ Country Agribusiness Report. Catch it every Monday through Saturday starting at 5 a.m. And stand by for Western New York's Morning Show next on CJ Country.